going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. And had a hard time coming up with a title this week. So the title is just Focus on Christ. It's kind of a generic title, but Focus on Christ. And it's fitting the song that we were just singing. You know, My Jesus, I Love Thee. I think most of the times in our lives, if we could just focus on loving the Lord as Christians, a lot of our problems would kind of fade away. A lot of the things that we think are important, a lot of things that we struggle with, if we could just concentrate on the Lord and all that He's done for us, I think those things would seem to fade away in our lives. Let's pray and we'll get into the passage. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You that You love us. I thank You that You died on Calvary to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, I thank You that we can know for sure that one day we'll spend eternity in heaven and not in hell. Lord, I know that this world, many in this world, don't even think about that. They don't even stop to think about the fact that one day we will spend eternity in one place or another. I ask that we would, as Josh is wanting to young people to memorize the Romans Road, I ask that we would have a desire to tell others about Your goodness and Your grace, Your mercy and Your love, that You died in our place on the cross so that we could one day spend eternity in heaven. Lord, give us Your wisdom as we look at this passage this morning. I pray that we would You would use it in our hearts and lives to make us more Christ-like. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these verses, Philippians 4, 1 through 3, we're kind of wrapping up the book of Philippians. Be a few more weeks here, but Paul is starting to wrap up his talk here. And so let's read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." And then what I didn't get to, what I was planning on getting to, is rejoice in the Lord always. And I say rejoice, but we will save that for next week. There are three imperatives here, three important things that we are to do as Christians. And the first one is to stand fast in the Lord. So that's in the Lord, stand fast in the Lord. The second is be of the same mind in the Lord. And the third is rejoice in the Lord. Now, we're going to try and look at the first two today, to stand fast in the Lord and to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then next week we will go on to rejoicing in the Lord. You know, we are here looking at Paul's thoughts about a church that he had been instrumental in starting. So Paul had journeyed there and had gone to this town of Philippi, a strange name. It seems to us, but that town was called Philippi. They had gone there, they had ministered there, and spent quite a bit of time there, and there was church started. People were saved, people were led to the Lord, and a church was started. And when Paul spent so much time there, and he created a bond with the people there. He created a mutual friendship, a mutual companionship with the people that were there. You know, we have traveled extensively especially when we were missionaries, we traveled to many different churches, many different places where there were already people there. But we've gone to places to live in communities like Three Hills, Alberta, High Level, Alberta, Yorkton, Saskatchewan. You want to get funny looks when you drive into the States? Drive around with a car with Saskatchewan plates on it. People drive by you. You're driving down the road, and people drive, and this is what, I mean, continually. Like, what do people from Saskatchewan look like? Sorry, people, you're not getting people from Saskatchewan. We're actually from Michigan. But I always wanted to get one of those, like a Sasquatch mask, and put it over my head. So when we're driving down the road, when people go like this every time, I could just look back at them. Because people, they look like, they think, Saskatchewan, what do they look like? It's like they would look any different than anybody else. But we've lived all over the place, and because of that, we have dear friends all over the place. We have dear friends that live in, now I know some of you don't even know where this is, but Manitoba. We have dear friends that live in Manitoba. We have dear friends that live in Saskatchewan. We have dear friends that live in Alberta. All dear friends that, guess what? If we could have a reunion, we'd be like, oh, great. We could go see these friends, these friendships that we built up over spending time together. And it would be, it'd be like, oh, I can't wait to go see them. I love those people. I care for those people. And it's exciting that we get to go and see them. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. Boy, if I could get to go see the people in the Philippian church, the Philippians, if I could go see them, I would love that. I would love to spend time. Maybe you can think of somebody that you don't get to see all the time. I'm not talking about family. I'm just talking about somebody that a friendship that you've created in the past, you no longer live by them, but I would like to go see that person again. I would like to go spend time with that person again. Many of us have that type of a friend. And that's where Paul is speaking here. And he says, therefore, my dearly beloved. He's speaking of this church. And he says, you're my dearly beloved. I love you guys. I love you so much, you're longed for. In other words, I desire that I could go spend time with you. That is the type of people you are. Now, Paul had started a lot of churches, but the Philippian church is really the only church that got this dramatic, I don't know if dramatic's the right word, but this emotional type of desire out of Paul. Now, he wanted to still go see some of the other churches, but I think this was a special church to him. This is a church where it just brought up special memories to him. You know, there are friends. We all have friends that, some friends, yeah, I would like to go see them. And then there's some friends where, man, I'd love to go. I long to see them. And so, I have friends like that. Friends, I would be happy to see them. And then there's some friends I just kind of long to see. I wish I could spend time with those friends. And that's what Paul was saying here. I long for these friends. They're my joy. Oh, friends that bring joy. You know what? We should desire to be that type of friend to people. Type of people that tend to bring joy. Now, in my family, it's my wife. People say, yeah, we want to come see you. Oh, we want to come see Marilyn. You know, she's the one that brings joy. But, you know, we should tend to want to be people that if people come see us again, it's like, that's a joy. Now, that doesn't always happen, but we should strive for that, that we could be a joy. In my crown, the idea that they are... a crown was for victory, and in whatever way, whether Paul was looking at his victory here on earth or victory in the future, they are part of his victory. He had gone into this community to start a church, and it started a church, and there were people saved, and these people, he could look back at them and say, They're part of my crown. They're part of what I've done for the Lord. We can look back and see there are people that that were unsaved, people whose lives were maybe a mess or real problems in their life, and we can look back and say, they're part of our crown. There's people that contact us at times and say, you really helped me at this point in my life. And we're like, I didn't even realize I was, you know. But they look at you and say, well, you're a joy to me. You helped me here when I was struggling. And I'm just like, well, we were just being friends during that time. We never know how much of an impact we can have on people by just being there for them and helping them through hard times in their life. Sometimes it's not about all the things you say. Sometimes it's just you're there and willing to help them through a time where it's really rough. It's really hard. And you won't even hardly remember that incident, and they will look back and say, boy, you're a joy to me. Maybe you can think of somebody like that in your life that, man, they just helped you through a rough time in your life, and they didn't do anything special, but they were there. And Paul remembers the time he spent with them as a victorious time. It's a good time. He can look back and say, you know, you are a joy to me, but I was also victorious in the ministry that I had there. So he tells them, you are this, my joy and my crown. So he says, he gives them a command here, or he pleads with them to stand fast in the Lord. And he again calls them my dearly beloved. These actions are imperative if we are to carry on in the work that God has called us to. These actions can be carried out only in the Lord. We have to stand fast. Many people stand fast in a lot of different things. But as a church, as a ministry, what we have to stand fast is in the Lord. It's easy for individuals or a church to become centered on things that aren't in the Lord. A lot of churches become kind of social places where everybody gathers and where friends meet. But the main thing isn't the Lord. The main thing is, let's get together. There's a lot of different reasons why churches can get kind of off base or off balance. So he says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. To stand fast is the idea of being in a battle. I've never been in a battle. I've been and played football or something like that, and the other team is, you know, if you're playing the line, you're supposed to stand fast. You're supposed to keep the other. You know, I, as a young kid in eighth grade, I played on the defensive line. I was supposed to go get them, but I don't think I completely understood all of it. Even though I played, you know, home football, I didn't think I understood. But their thing is to keep me from getting to the quarterback. You're to stand fast and keep me from getting to the quarterback. Well, Paul says here in our Christian lives, we need to stand fast in the Lord. That means that there are others that are trying to get us to not stand fast. That means there's temptations. There may be other people in the church. There may be other reasons where somebody's trying to get us off our game. Satan wants to get us off, away from standing fast. There are many different people or spiritual influences or just whatever, our daily experiences that come up that try to get us not to stand fast. And Paul's, the first thing he says here is stand fast in the Lord. If we're going to stand fast in something, we need to make sure it's in the Lord. Many times problems happen in our lives or even in the church because we try to take a stand outside of in the Lord. outside of the boundaries of being in the Lord. In the first three verses, Paul is again talking about unity. So one of the ways to have unity is to make sure the things that we are standing fast in are there within the realm of being in the Lord. Many times, these problems are caused when we stand fast. Problems are caused when we stand fast in something other than the Lord, like our opinion. This might be a bad illustration, but if you ever had something stuck in your teeth and it's just like irritating you so much that you're just trying to get rid of it and you don't have a toothpick or something and you just kind of work away at getting that out, and until you get that out, you just can't really concentrate on anything else. I mean, I'm like that. I get something, the wrong thing in there, and it's just like, oh, I just work and work and work to try and get that out, and I can't do anything else. That's the way sometimes people are with issues in the church. They seem to always go back to that one issue, and that issue becomes the thing that they stand fast in. All of us can do that at times. All of us can get something where this is what I'm going to stand fast in. But God says, Paul says here, stand fast in the Lord. Within independent fundamental Baptist churches, there are issues that I think that cause division that are not necessarily in the Lord. Now, I know some of you may not know about some of these issues, but for those of you who do, most of you will, something like the King James Version. You know, that is an issue that is within the church at times that people say, you know, the King James Version is the only issue for English-speaking people. And Bible is important, but sometimes people make that the issue. And not, am I standing fast in the Lord, or am I standing fast in a different issue? And some people's lives become all about that issue instead of the Lord. Another issue that faces the church at times is music. I'm pretty conservative in my music. You can probably tell that by what we do, but I'm not as conservative as others. I like singing old hymns, but some people make music the main issue. And it's not about the Lord, it's about this type of music, and that's the only issue. And I'm not going to try and get into all the intricacies of that, but we have to realize, we have to remember that if we're taking a stand on something, that it's in the Lord. Dress is another issue that people tend to get hung up on. But we have to realize that, is that in the Lord? Now, we ask people to wear a tie if they're going to take offering and stuff. It's not wrong to have institutional standards. Even McDonald's. Anybody ever worked at McDonald's? Okay. My daughter worked at McDonald's. My son worked at A&W. But every place they worked at, what did you have to wear? You all had to wear a uniform. So, you know, it's amazing how people wear a certain uniform to go to work. Most of them don't complain. It's just, well, if I go to work, I have to wear this uniform. So institutions might have standards about, well, to take an offering, we just ask you to wear a tie. That's not a big deal. But I don't believe that a tie makes me more spiritual. I don't believe that wearing a suit makes me more spiritual than anybody else. I believe it's something that I believe personally that, well, I think the church has a rule, I'm probably supposed to wear a tie. But personally, I just believe that I should try and wear my best when I go to church, because I'm going to worship a holy God. And I think it's good if I just wear my best. But I'm not going to tell you exactly what you have to wear unless you're taking offering. Because the tie doesn't make me more spiritual than somebody else. It's not the clothes that I wear that make me more holy than anybody else. But I would just ask this. How many of you have been married before? Guys, if you've been married, did you have to dress up to go to your wedding? Well, probably, most of us probably got dressed up to go to our wedding. Now, I would have been okay in jeans and a t-shirt. But guess who would not have been okay with that? She would not have been okay with that. And most everybody else would have not have been okay with that, would they? In fact, most people say, I want to get dressed up for my wedding. Most people want to do that. Let me ask you, if you're going to the White House, if whatever president you like, it doesn't, you know, you can go back or forth or forward or whatever, whatever president you like would have invited you to go to the White House, most of us would do what? We would dress up to go to the White House because it's an important occasion. In fact, I would say if you didn't dress up, if you didn't try and make yourself look better, it has to do with a respect for authority issue, if you didn't dress up going to the White House. Because I've talked to people and they said, I wouldn't dress up because we were in Canada. I said, what if the Queen was coming? I wouldn't dress up for the Queen. And this is a guy from England. He's like, I wouldn't dress up for her. I'm like, okay. But I think that's a respect for authority issue in our hearts. If we're not, it's like, they are a person of, we should show, you know, we may not have a tie to wear, but we should dress up. And I think the same thing when we come and worship God. I think that we should have heart desire to just want to do our best because we're coming to worship God. Now, am I making that sound like that's... It's kind of like I'm going back and forth here because I'm saying that isn't something that we have to do. And I don't think we enforce that broadly across the church and say you have to wear a suit and a tie and we make you feel bad if you don't. No. I don't think there's anybody in here probably that I can think of that I ever said you need to wear a tie unless you're taking an offering or something. I've never tried to pressure people into, well, maybe from the pulpit a little bit, but like today. But I've never come to you and said, you know, you have to wear something different if you're coming to church. I may encourage you to do something different, but that's different than saying, well, if you're not doing this, you're not in the Lord. That's completely different. So we have to realize that the things we take a stand on, we need to be able to say biblically, yes, that's something that's in the Lord. It's hard sometimes for us to figure out, am I standing fast in the Lord? Or am I standing fast in what others have instilled in me? Or am I standing fast in a man-made standard? Or am I standing fast in the Lord? Now, how are we going to decide that? Whether or not we're standing fast in issues created by man or issues that are truly biblical? Well, we have to take those and find them in the Bible and say, I'm standing fast in the Lord because this is what the Word of God says. And the Bible, sadly for us, doesn't say anything about wearing ties to church. You know, I never wore a tie that I remember. I never wore a tie. Well, my mom put me in a tie sometime when I was a kid. But I don't remember wearing a tie until I went to Bible college. I never wore ties. In fact, if you'd have seen me, I was almost always in jeans and a t-shirt. Except for I went to church, I probably did wear something nicer than that. But I didn't wear a tie. And I only started wearing a tie after. Now we've spent enough time on ties. But is it in the Bible? Can we find it in the Bible? Or are there biblical principles that teach that? We have to make sure that what we're standing fast is in the Lord. And is it? Can we prove that from Scripture? Or can we prove it from biblical principles? Now, let me just give a verse that we can get a biblical principle from. Well, let's just look at chapter 4. We're in chapter 4 already. Let's look at verse 8. says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that gives a whole list of things that we are to think about, but it doesn't give exact things to think about, does it? It doesn't say, think about... No, I can't think of anything. It doesn't say, think about basketball, or don't think about basketball. It says, and I don't even think anybody in here likes basketball. Anybody like basketball in here? Okay, a few of you. But it's not saying exact things. It's saying whatsoever things are true. So we're supposed to think on true things. We have to make a judgment call. What's true? Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue. We have to look at things and make a decision based upon that verse if those are things that are in the Lord or not. Just same thing with 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So what is not being under the power of anything? Well, I think that being under the power of alcohol is something that, you know, being under the power of drugs, being under the power of those types of things, I think that is something that that would be talking about. But let's move on here. Because he also talks about being in the same mind in the Lord. Stand fast and be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, the second verse is really interesting. He talks about them being dearly beloved. And then he says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche. Now, those are strange names to us. If you lived back in Roman days, those wouldn't be strange names. You could just do this. Is anybody here named Doris? Anybody named Mary? Okay, I don't think so. So I'm not using anybody's name. You could say, in modern English, just to help us, I'm pleading with Doris and I'm pleading with Mary that they be in the same mind in the Lord. Or they think, the way they think is biblically based. I'm pleading with these two ladies that they would think like the Lord. Because they have a problem. There's a division there. There's a problem in their life. Have you ever known two ladies to have a problem with each other? Men too. But in this case, it's two ladies. And they're probably not speaking to one another. And they're divisive against each other. And guess what? If Paul knows it, and where's Paul right now? He's in a Roman prison a long ways away. And Epaphroditus probably tells him, Euodias and Syntyche are really going at it. And the whole church knows about it. And it's a bad thing. That's not good. If the whole church knows about this problem. Can you imagine? Epaphroditus would have brought this letter back to the church in Philippi. And either Epaphroditus, that's another name that, you know, we don't use today, but, you know, Jim goes to Rome and gets this letter for us. And he brings it back. And guess what? He's got to read it in front of everybody. And it's Paul's letter to the church. Authoritative letter. So Jim maybe has to get up here and read this letter to everybody. I don't think Jim cares. Either Jim can read the letter. But he has to read the letter to everybody. And as he reads the letter, do you remember that there are quite a few places where it talks about being of the same mind, of having unity, of thinking the same things? Over and over again, it's talking about unity, and I can just see Mary and Doris, and they're like, man, he keeps talking about unity. I can't have unity with her, and she can't have unity with me. And all of a sudden, in the church, of course, Mary's sitting over here, and Doris is sitting over there. They're in the furthest place they can sit from each other. And Jim's up here reading the letter, and it says, Jim is like, oh, I haven't read this yet. I'm just reading it for the first time. And, it, you know, I could see him just pausing for a second, swallowing a little bit, and like, kind of looks both ways. And I plead with Mary and with Doris, they would be of the same mind in the Lord. Can you imagine being in that meeting? You wouldn't hear a pin drop. I don't know if they had pins back then to drop, but it would have been quiet as could be. Because everybody knows Mary and Doris, and everybody knows they've been fighting, and now Paul has actually named them publicly. What would that be for them? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Do you think Paul knew it would be embarrassing for them? Paul knew it would be embarrassing for them, but Paul's like, sometimes the only way to get people to really see their sin is, and to see how wrong it is just to call them out publicly. And that's what he chooses to do. Now, he did it. The words he used were soft words. He was like, I plead with you. It'd be like us saying, I plead with you, Mary. I plead with you, Doris, that you would think like God in this matter. In other words, would God want you to be at odds over these things? Is the stand you're taking in the Lord? And so many of the times, the problems that we have in churches are not problems that are based in the Lord, that are based in our opinions. We were hurt about something. Something went not the way we wanted it. Anybody ever been in a church business meeting where, I don't know how long ago this carpet was put in, but everybody ever been in a church business meeting where people were angry about what color of carpet was going to be installed? I've been in church business meetings where they didn't like, it was arguing over what color carpet, you know. Is that in the Lord? There's so many times that people get upset about things and it's not in the Lord. And that's why Paul reminds them, be of the same mind in the Lord. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus, does not want you arguing over these things that have caused this division. And the whole church knows about it. Embarrassment could lead them to have some reactions. It could lead them to get angry and to walk out and huff. I could just see that, you know. Mary's sitting over here and she's like, I can't believe he called my name out publicly. And she gets up and she walks out in a huff. We're not told what happened. But it could lead to somebody getting angry and walking out. It could lead to them not only being angry with each other, but angry with Paul. You know, how could Paul do that? How could he call us out like that? He could lead them to attack the messenger. You know, Epaphroditus or Jim here, he's just the messenger. But they could attack the messenger. It could lead them to attack Paul and try to malign his character. But did Paul really want to just embarrass them? What was Paul's purpose in calling them out? That they would be in the same mind in the Lord, that they would repent of the sins that they were involved in, and they would get things right. You know, over more than once in the scriptures, Paul goes to somebody who's wrong, and he just face to face. If Paul would have been there, he would have said it himself. Do you remember when Peter was being led astray? And we're talking about Peter here. Peter's being led astray, and what does Paul do? In the midst of everybody, he goes up to him in his face and tells him, you're wrong. And you need to get it right. And there's no... You know what I think Peter did? I think Peter said, you're right, because there's no history that Peter didn't agree with Paul. There's no history in the Bible that there was any conflict with them after that. I think Peter responded in the right way and had to bow his head and say, you're right, Paul. I was wrong. So we have to be in the same mind in the Lord. There's lots of things that, as people, we're from various backgrounds. We're from various families. We're from various... anybody born outside of the U.S.? Nobody born outside the U.S. How many people born outside of Ohio? A few people born outside of Ohio. We're from different, some of us different states, different families. How many of you think my family would, the family I was raised in, I'm talking my father, raised, you know, do you think your family was raised differently? Almost all of you would have had some differences. Raised in different families, raised going to different schools. How many of you went to a Christian school? Anybody? Okay. How many of you went to public school? I did. Anybody homeschooled? Okay. Okay, doesn't that mean that we're all going to think differently about a lot of things? Different states, different families, different... But there's one area that we can be in the same mind in. That's in the Lord. We can be in the same mind in the Lord. We can come together as a body of believers and say, there's one common thing that bonds us together. That's the Lord. All those things that make us different, make us a different part of the body, God can use, but we have to realize that everything that we do within the church, we have to balance it. We make sure, if we're taking a strong stand, we have to make sure it's in the Lord. We have to make sure that unity, when we look at unity issues, and we have to realize that it's in the Lord. And we have to be careful that we don't become the type of person that Paul has to call them out. I mean, how would you like to have your name forever etched in Scripture? Mary and Doris, your names are going to be forever etched in Scripture as those two that just couldn't get along. None of us want that when we really think about it. So he says again in verse 3, we'll just kind of read this and be finished. He says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, the guy who's working with them, maybe help these women. Because they labor, I believe he's talking about these two ladies, they labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book. Paul says, these are ladies that have been a big help in the past. And he wants to be them to be a big help in the future. But they've got to get over their quarrels and get back to having the same mind in the Lord, so that they can be get back to being profitable. Notice he says, whose names are in the book of life. In other words, he says, these are Christians. They are quarrelsome, but they're Christians. Their names are in the book of life. Help them. Whoever the yoke fellow is somebody who's pulling. You think of oxen pulling on a yoke together. And Paul says, you're doing the same thing as I'm doing. You're pulling on the same yoke together with me. Help these ladies to get it right. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to make sure that the things that we are standing fast in are in the Lord. Help us to realize that many times we take a stand on things that really don't matter. We take a stand on things that are really our opinion, really our desires. And sometimes we cause conflict over things that really, in the long run, don't matter. So help us, Lord, to all judge the things that we're doing based upon, are they in the Lord? Are they things that He would want us to for sure take a stand on? Are they in the Scripture? Lord, thank You for all You've done for us. Pray that You continue to guide and direct us as a body of believers. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.